truth, but I hope, Almighty God, that we truly surrender all. As Christians, we will continuously have unsurrendered areas in our lives, but as we continue to walk and grow in the Lord, we should also be continuously releasing those unsurrendered areas of our lives. All of us have a few of those. So thank you, Christina, and the praise team, and for leading us into the presence and for worship this morning. All right. As you know, we are preparing for Alpha in a couple of weeks, and I've been showing these videos to encourage you to invite someone to attend the Alpha course. And as you know, it's a part of our strategic plan to grow God's kingdom, and in the process, grow our assembly as well. So please continue to invite individuals, neighbors, friends that you feel could benefit from the Alpha course. And all you got to say to them, hey, have you seen those question everything billboards or television commercials? And just say to them, will you attend an Alpha course with me? And simple as it is. So we encourage you to do that. All right. Let us, as the video is getting ready, are we ready to go? Okay, let's watch the video. I feel that some of this is made up. It's not true. It's not God's word. Good morals in there, but not something that you really want to hang your hat on. And I think we, as a church, must do a better job of presenting the truth of God's word at a level in which people can understand it. And this is the whole purpose of the Alpha course, where we get various individuals coming together, asking these types of questions, and having those questions answered. Takes you off the hot seat, and it enables us to be able to have good dialogue and good information. Well, we know the Word of God to be true, and to be active, and sharper than a two-edged sword. We know that the Word of God transforms lives, so why don't you go to the Word of God with me this morning, as we get into these scriptures and see what God has to say to us this morning. I believe, New Hope, that this message is for someone specific. Maybe it's several people. I don't know. But I did know that when I was preparing it, God was just speaking to me about a number of different things. And I want to share some of those tidbits with you as we make our way through the text. So let's go to 2 Kings, the 4th chapter, and the first 7 verses, and perhaps we can read in concert together when it's on the screen. All right, we're good. All right, let's go on 3. 1, 2, 3. The wife of a man from a company of the prophets cried out to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that he revered the Lord. But now his creditor is coming to take my 2 sons, slaves." Elisha replied to her, "How can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house? Your servant has nothing here at all," said, "except a little oil." Elisha said, "Go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars, and each is filled. Put it one side." She left him and afterward shut the door behind her and her sons and brought the jars to her, and I kept pouring. When all the jars were full, she said to her sons, "Bring me another one." But he replied, "There's not another jar left." Then the oil stopped pouring. She and told the man of God. He said, "Go sell the oil, pay your debts. You and your sons can live on what is left." Amen. Let me see your Bibles. This is my Bible. It is the unadulterated, inspired, authoritative Word of God for my life. I will read it slowly. I will read it prayerfully. I will read it carefully. I will abide by its precepts. I will live by its principles, and I will stand on its promises. I declare it in Jesus' name. Father God, I want to thank you for the opportunity to share these feeble words that you have enabled me to put together. I pray that it will be light, it will be salt, it will be nourishment, it will be food for our hearts. And if there's someone here this morning, God, that you want to really, really speak to, God, make it very clear to them. And I hope that every person that is sitting within the sound of my voice will find encouragement, help, and hope from these words of your scripture and your text. Thank you for your word that is timeless for every generation, Lord Jesus, and it meets the needs of man wherever it finds him. In your name we pray. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, there is help and there is hope, even at the end of your rope. Look at your other neighbor and say, neighbor, there is help and there is hope, even at the end of your rope. Have you ever been to the end of your rope? Have you ever been to the end of your rope? Oh, okay. Some of you are living at the end of your rope. I heard when I was first started ministering, there was a song that I was listening to, and it's a great illustration, and it talked about how a father and a son went swimming, and while they were swimming, the tide came in, and something happened to the boy, and he got sucked out, and the father was on shore, and the son was crying out, Father, save me. And the father looked around, and all he could find was a piece of rope there, and he threw it to the son. But the tide was so strong, as he began to pull his son in, the rope began to break. And all the father could do was tell his son, he says, son, reach beyond the break and hold on. And I thought about that, and I saw that in the text today. And it takes a lot of effort and energy to try to reach beyond the break and hold on. But I want you to know today that there is help and there is hope even at the end of your rope. So I want to encourage somebody today. There's so many nuggets in this passage of scripture. You might want to get out your pen and paper and just jot a few down, because I believe God has something to say to each and every one of you today. This story tells of a steady flow of oil that continued to flow until all of the empty jars were filled. As Christians, Brother Morgan, we go through many, many circumstances and situations in life. Some of them painful, some of them joyful, some of them just in between. Some of us are in various stages of whatever it is that we're going through. And sometimes in life, we may feel, and some of us have felt, like we are at the end of our rope with a particular circumstance. But I came by today to tell you that there is help and there is hope even when you're at the end of your rope. What do you do when you're facing problems with your children that you cannot seem to solve? What do you do when your marriage is on the rocks and the crushing waves of hopelessness are unrelenting? What do you do when there are problems at work and it seems that there is no way out and no way around it? What do you do when there's too much month left at the end of your money? What do you do when you have followed your loved one to a graveside and you cannot escape the loneliness and the grief and pain that comes with that? What do you do when your heart is broken, your dreams are shattered, and your hopes have been tossed into the cruel rocks of reality? What do you do? What do you do when you're walking through a spiritual wasteland and there seems to be no possible way out? What do you do? I think that only the Lord knows the answers to some of these questions. Yet, there may be some help for many of us in the seven verses that we have just read this morning. And this passage tells us about a poor woman who is a widow who is at the end of her rope. She does not know what to do or where to turn. In her pain and in her poverty, she did the only thing she knew that she could do, and that was to turn to the Lord. I wish somebody would shout hallelujah. I wish some people in here knew that when you don't know any place else to go, that you will turn to the Lord. But I wish we wouldn't wait till we're backed up in a corner. I wish we would turn to Him when the situation first rises and go to Him first, and not after we've tried everything else and everything else has failed. We would go to God first. When she did that, I want you to know that God came through for her in a very, very big way. This passage teaches us the truth that God has a plan for all of our problems. Look at your neighbor and tell him, say, neighbor, God has a plan for all of our problems. These verses show us, just as God took care of her, that this same God is able to take care of you and I. Let us look in our text. And so what we see in verse 1 of the text, and it tells us that the wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that he revered the Lord, but now his creditors is coming to take my two boys as slaves." In this text, we see a restricted widow. And if you live long enough, you will experience what it means to be restricted. This woman, she married, if we can put it in modern terms, her husband was the son of a pastor or the son of a prophet. In those days, the prophets were the God spokesman that communicated God's truth to the people. And so she was the wife of a pastor's son. And her husband died. We don't know what happened to him, but he died. And she was bankrupt, and the creditors were coming to take her sons as slaves so that they could work off the debt that they owed. She tried to serve God, but in doing so, she met with disappointment. How many of you know that sometimes serving the Lord does not always provide a road of smooth sailing for us? We run into difficulties. Sometimes we run into challenges. And it behooves us to discern whether God is trying to punish us or trying to teach us something out of our situation. Some people see it as punishment. But if you are a child of God, whatever you go through, you ought not to get too hot and bothered, because your life is in God's hands. And so we find in this text that she ended up in a situation of disappointment. But I also want you to know that when she went to the prophet of God, she went with honesty. She didn't go to try to tell him some story. She was honest about him. She didn't try to fool him. She simply told the truth. And as Christians, we need to be honest about our situation. Sometimes I think we act too cute because we don't want people to know what we're going through. But if people don't know what we're going through, how can people help us? And I don't mean that you need to tell your situation on Facebook and the internet and the Edmonton Journal. You got to use wisdom. But I think you need to have people around you who can support you and journey with you through what you're going through. Do I have a witness this morning? God never intended for us to carry our burdens alone. And so in this particular text, what we see was there was despair in this woman's family. She had come to the man of God at her lowest point. She is in a desperate situation. Audrey, there was death in the family. So she was grieving over the loss of her husband, who was a godly man. It's hard to find a man anyway. And so when God takes a godly one away, then what do you do in that kind of an environment? Her husband loved her, her friends. He was a friend, her provider, her protector. And he had been taken away because of death. Now, not only was there death in the family, there was death in the family because they owed money to the creditors. And since her husband was dead and could not pay, it was quite legal in their time for who were the creditors to come and take something or someone. And if you read Leviticus 25:39, or read the entire chapter of Leviticus 25, you will see that this is listed in there as some of the do's and don'ts and the requirements of if you had to pay back a debt, what you had to do. And so she had been deprived of her husband. Now she's about to lose her two sons. She is over her head in debt, and she doesn't seem to know how she's going to make it. Have you ever been in a situation where your money was so funny and your change was so strange you didn't know what to do? This was her situation. She was grieving, lost a husband, emotional pain. She's got financial struggles. Anybody here with financial struggles? Can anyone here use a little bit more? Does anyone have any to give? Raphael put his hand up. See Raphael after service. Not only was there death in the family, and she was in debt, but there was devotion also. And in this text, what we see is, in spite of all of her problems, in spite of all of the situation, this woman maintained faith in Jesus, in God. She maintained faith in God. She went to the man of God to find help. Notice, she didn't try to fix the problem her way. She didn't try to turn tricks. Oh, somebody. She didn't try to go borrow from friends. She didn't try to wheel and deal, try to deceive anyone. She went to the man of God, told him her problems, and then she went to seek the counsel of Almighty God as to what she should do about this. Notice that she didn't get in a funk and say, well, I've been serving God with my husband for so long, and this is what he does to us, and how come he's supposed to be such a good God, and he's supposed to provide for us? She didn't start cussing God. Hello, somebody. I mean, some of us today, if that was our situation, we would have to tell God a few things, right? About himself. Oh, come on now. Don't pretend that you're so holy. You know what goes through your mind when you run into hard times. Where is this God? Why me? She didn't take that route. She went to the man of God. I think that's an example for us to emulate, my brothers and sisters, when things don't go the way we think that they should go. And so, she went to Elijah. Elijah was God's representative. And she reminds Elisha that her husband did fear the Lord. And this reminds me of the prophet who was sick unto death. And he turned his face to the wall and began to pray. And God bring change in his circumstances. And sometimes we ought to remind God, rather than getting mad and upset, you ought to remind God, say, God, you know me. You know that I've served you. I've given you everything I've got. I've committed my life to you. I've walked with you. I've talked with you. You got to make a way out of no way for me right now, God. We've been together on this journey for a long time. This is your boy. I need some help. Remind him a little bit of what you've done for him and who he is and your relationship with him. And I believe that if we go to God in honesty and transparency, God will and does make a difference in our situation. Her life was one of devotion, even though she was in trouble. And even though she couldn't see a way out, she knew that she couldn't see everything. And I want you to understand that today, that even though sometimes we can't see a way out, we need to remind ourselves that we, in our natural eyes, cannot see everything. And we ought to give God an opportunity. And there's a lesson for some of us in this text today that we don't want to miss. And so these verses are designed to teach us that our problems, while they may appear to be insurmountable in our eyes, they're just an opportunity in disguise for God to do what God does best. Therefore, no matter what you are called upon to face in this life, learn to turn to the Lord first for help when you're in need, because he cares for you, he's able, and he will work it out to the best of his abilities in such a way that you can receive help and hope even at the end of your rope. Point number two, we notice a resourceful widow. And I believe that God wants to say something to someone through this. Elisha asked this lady two questions. But these two questions are designed to allow her to see the size of her needs and the smallness of her resources. She needed much but could not possibly meet her own needs. She needed everything, and she had very little. Elisha's question to her is, "What is in the house?" I want you to think about this for a minute. She's already gone to him to tell her that, you know, she needs help. And he says to her, "What do you have in your house that we could use to change your circumstances?" Now she has to think back into a life of emptiness and nothingness. Now picture with me. What's in the cupboards? Nothing. She's got nothing in the cupboards. What kind of a love life does she have? She doesn't have one. Her husband is dead. What kind of a future she has with her boys? She doesn't have one. They're about to be taken. So she has to look back into a life of nothingness. You ever been in a place where you can look back into your life and you're looking and all you can see is nothing? And Elijah says, "What do you have in your house?" And so she now has to become resourceful. Can I pause there for just a little bit? When you are in a tough situation, you and I have to become resourceful. We have to find a way to get around our handicaps. So can I break it down and be practical and get myself into some trouble? All right, let me give you a couple of examples. All right, so you're single, and you're a guy, and you want to find a nice-looking girl. But man, you got carrots between your teeth. You know, you look scruffy, clothes not ironed. You got to be resourceful. You got to present yourself well. Put on a little deodorant. Ladies, if the fence need painting, paint the fence. You got to be resourceful. Let's go for the church. We're sitting here and we want to see all of these pews filled. We can't keep complaining. Nobody's coming to church. And the door's open. We've got to find a way to go out and bring them in and stop complaining about what we don't. We've got to be resourceful. I was never a big fan of fundraising and for finances, but, you know, we've got to find another way to meet the needs rather than sitting down and complaining that things aren't what we want them to be and not doing anything about it. This widow had to look into her house to see what she had, what she thought wasn't very much, Nolan, but she had to become resourceful. So you got to find another way. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't throw in the towel. Find another way. There has to be another way. If God can use the jawbone of a donkey, he can find another way to get your attention and speak to you in whatever way he wants to. And so we find that when we look at our problems, they always look larger than they are. And we look at our possessions, and they always look smaller. But when we add God into that factor, it's a different ball game altogether. So I want to ask you this morning, what is your greatest need that you have today? And look around inside of you and around you and see what you have that can be used to change your circumstances. What is it that you have that God can use to bring about change in your circumstances? You might recall the scriptures where God took a widow's meal, 1 Kings 17, 18 and 16, and multiplied it. Where God's son took a little boy's lunch and multiplied it. And this lady, this widow of our text, all she had was a little bit of oil. And to her, it didn't seem much, but it was enough to God to work with it. And all of us have something that God is able to use to bring about change in our circumstances. Like the woman in this story, we need to be resourceful. I want to also point out to you that God used her to bring about her own miracle. God used the widow in our text to bring about her own miracle. You know, there's nothing more frustrating to me, Sister Brenda, than to watch someone in the sea of life floating. There's a life jacket nearby, and they won't grab it. And they're waiting for somebody else to come and put their life jacket on them and bring them into shore and They expect someone else to carry, that person has to carry themselves plus carry them. But I think that we have to participate in our own rescue. I think it's time we participate in our own rescue. And so if we need to put on the life jacket, we put it on and don't wait for someone else to save us. Of course, we want help and we're willing to accept help and receive help, but we must be willing to put on our own life jackets and try to save ourselves from drowning rather than sitting waiting, being miserable and grumpy, complaining that nobody's helping me. God used this woman to be a part of her own miracle. Point number three. Look at the requirements of this widow. Verses number 3 and 4. Elijah says, go around your neighborhood, the Millwoods neighborhood, and ask all of your neighbors, red, yellow, black, and white, for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. Ask for a whole lot. Then go inside your house, shut the door with you and your sons, and then you begin to start pouring these oil into these empty jars. You know, have you ever been asked by God to do something that you thought was strange? I want you to put yourself in her shoes. Can you imagine? Well, number one, how many jars do you think she can hold in her hands? Okay? So let's say she can carry 6. Her sons can carry 6 apiece. And let's assume they're grown boys, kind of like Christopher's age, maybe. Christopher can carry 6 jars. Matthew can carry 6 jars. And you think about it, she has to run around the neighborhood collecting empty jars. Can you imagine if you were one of the neighbors that got a knock on your door? Hey, Audrey, I need some empty jars from you, as much as you've got. What would you need them for? Well, this weird man of God told me to come down the neighborhood road and collect all the empty jars and take them back to my house. And so my son and I are doing that. Or, girl, I can't even begin to tell you what's going on in my life. I just need some jars. Just give me some jars so I can go. All right? Can you imagine the conversation? Can you imagine the people who were curious, Eleanor, that said, well, tell me a little bit more about why you need my jars? And perhaps she had an opportunity to share her faith to some non-believers in this experience. But she went in obedience, collecting all these jars, walking down the streets with all these jars, probably looking crazy. But she didn't care how she looked. She didn't care about what people thought. She was willing to walk in obedience to what the man of God told her to do. Are we willing to walk in obedience to what God is telling us to do? Even though it might look odd or weird or strange? Because we live in an environment where we don't want to look odd or strange. We want to look cool, calm, and collected. We want to be hip. We want to fit in. We want to blend in to the point that people don't even know we're Christians anymore. Because we look just like them, we talk just like them, we behave just like them. But I think God's people ought to be distinctively different. Let them call you weird or wacky, whatever they want to call you, but we got to be distinctively different. Which means we have to be willing to do what God has called us to do, and whatever God tells us to do, we have to do it, walk in faithful obedience to the things of Almighty God. This widow did it. While she was grieving, or she's about to lose her son, she's got nothing in the house much to eat, but she's walking in obedience to the ways of God. New Hope, can we walk in obedience to God's ways? I could pause here and be a little bit practical with you and bring it from the widow to New Hope, but I know I'll get myself in a lot of trouble if I did that. So I'll let you use your imagination. This widow, she had to go around, borrow empty pots, go home, shut the door, pouring the oil into the empty pots. I couldn't think about the empty pots. I wondered if the neighbors didn't have a similar need, because if their oil vessels and oil pots and jars were filled, she probably wouldn't have been able to get a lot of empty pots, Brother Morgan. If they didn't have empty pots, she couldn't get any. And I'm wondering this morning if you can see with me that God specializes in filling empty vessels. God specializes in filling empty vessels. until we as a church body can get to the place where we empty ourselves, first of all from ourselves, and from all of our strongholds, and from all of our addictions, and from all of our unforgiveness, and all of our bitterness, and all of our greed, and all of, unless we can become empty, God can't fill us. And if God can't fill us, then he won't use us. We need to be filled with the anointing oil of Almighty God. We need to be filled so that we can be used by God. God is looking for empty vessels. Are there any empty vessels this morning? Any vessels that are broken and empty that want to be filled by the Almighty God? Are you empty? That's a good place to be in if you're empty, because God specializes in filling empty vessels. And so I want to encourage you this morning to know that sometimes when we get to the place where we're so empty, don't feel too bad, because it is there in that moment at the end of our rope where God will fill us with his amazing power and meet our needs. Empty of sin. Empty of everything that will disallow God to use us. She was to provide empty pots to be filled. This widow was told to go to all of her neighbors, borrow empty pots, fill them. She obeyed the Lord. What an example for us today. You know, I want you to know again that when the Lord shuts us in a place of total dependence upon him, his people will see him come through for them, because that is the history, Graham, that we have with God. When we look at scripture, we see God coming through for Elijah when he was at the end of his rope. We see God coming through for Daniel. We see God coming through for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We see God coming through for the widow of Zephorath. We see God coming through for the 5,000 men and women that were fed. We see him coming through for Simon Peter. We see him coming through for Paul. We see him coming through for various individuals, Moses. All the way through the text, we see God coming through for people time and time again who were at the end of their ropes. So don't despite your condition, because there is help and there is hope at the end of your rope. Number four, look at the results of the widow. Verses 5 and 7, the woman did as she was told. And then when there were no longer any empty vessels, the oil stopped flowing. I want to point out something to you, New Hope, that God's supply was large as the woman's faith and her obedience. God's supply was as large as the woman's faith and her obedience. As long as she had faith to believe and she was willing to walk in obedience, God continued to supply. The only limitations that we see in the text were that the pots, she didn't have enough pots. And when she ran out of pots, the blessing stopped flowing. If she had 100 more pots, they would have been filled. 200 more pots, jars, they would have been filled. So the oil stopped flowing when there was no vessels left or available for oil to be poured in. It has nothing to do with God's supply. It had everything to do with available vessels. And so in my mind, if the vessels are available, the oil keeps flowing. Are you a vessel that will allow the oil to keep flowing, New Hope? Because God wants his oil to flow through you and I. As long as there is available, as long as they were available vessels, the oil kept flowing. It had nothing to do with God's supply running out. Just available vessels being there. And so I want to say to you that God supplies all of our needs. The needs are there. It's in the spiritual realm. It's in the natural realm. And are we available to receive what God has in store for us? And so I want you to know that there is hope. Even at the end of her rope, she began that day with nothing. But by the end of that day, she had everything. I want you to know God can turn your situation around in one day if you're willing to walk in faith and willing to walk in obedience. One day can make a difference. This lesson teaches us about God's provision, how God will provide for us and he will meet our needs, because every promise of God, every promise of Elijah came through. The prophet of God told her to go home, get many pots and fill them, and God's promise to her came through. The vessels were filled. It speaks to us of the limit of God's provision. There's no limit on God's provision. As long as the pots were available, she continued to receive oil. God is able to meet our need, move mountains, and solve every problem that we run into. The largeness of God's provision. When the day was done, there was enough oil in the borrowed vessels that she was able to pay her debt, keep her sons, and move from an environment of nothingness to abundance. And God wants us to move from nothingness to abundance in our lives. She was able to sell to probably some of our same neighbors. I can imagine her now taking these full vessels of oil back to the streets and saying, here's your jar, but it's filled with 10 gallons of oil. Now you owe me $50. I'm just using my imagination. And so I want to challenge you today, New Hope, that there is hope. Even when you're at the end of your rope. This lady was at the end of her rope. She didn't know where to turn, but she went to God. I wish I had a church this morning that would say, I don't know where to turn, but I know that there's a God who hears and answers prayers. I wish I had some folks this morning that says, I know a God who holds tomorrow in his hands. I know a God who's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I know a God who makes a way out of no way. I want you to know today I'm telling you about my God, not somebody that I heard about, but somebody that I know because he's come through for me time and time again. And like the Father and the Son, I want to say to you, try and reach beyond that break and hold on because help is on its way. God will turn your situation around if you're willing to walk in obedience and walk in faith. You might not look popular. You may not be popular. You might not look like you fit in. But all that matters for the child of God is that we are in the will of Almighty God. And if I'm in his will, I know that I'm in the in crowd and I'm in the right crowd. But all I want to be able to do is walk in faithfulness and follow the instructions and the directions of Almighty God. So whatever it is that you're going through, whether it's a financial difficulty, marital struggles, relationship struggles, children struggles, church struggles, this struggles, that struggle, whatever it is that you're going through, if you will just walk in faithful obedience to Almighty God, I can watch God turn your situation around in one day because he's an all-powerful kind of God and he's able to do abundantly more than we can think, dream, or imagine because he is God. There is help, there is hope, even when you're at the end of your rope. So don't get too wound up. Don't get too disfocused. Don't get too distracted. Do what God is telling you to do. For us, New Hope, it's not oil, but we have the power and the presence of God in us if we profess to be Christians. So when our situations come up that we don't know how to handle, we need to look around and become resourceful. Well, the best resource for the child of God is on our knees in prayer. We don't have to go look into the neighbors to borrow jars. We've got the jar of clay and the jars of oil flowing through us, the presence of Almighty God. And if you can go to God in prayer, and this is the one thing that sometimes bothers me. I see that the church today can be much more powerful than it is if the people of God will become resourceful and set aside some time to come together and pray corporately. Now, I know the excuses are going to come out of the woodworks now. We're busy. We got to work. I understand. But I'm just saying to you that if you want to see change in the church, you want to see power in the church, you want to see anointing in the church, you want to see transformed lives in the church, then we must utilize the resource that we've been guaranteed 100% success, and that if we call on God, he will answer. And if the church came together, all the churches came together and began to pray like they know how to pray and not make any excuses, we will see the changes that we want to see in our churches today. I get frustrated sometimes when we have to pray hundreds of dollars to hand out brochures and flyers so we can get people to come to Fun Family Day. And I didn't see the Apostle Paul handing out no flyers in the New Testament church. What I saw was people gathering and praying. And watch God move where thousands of people came to the church. There was no television. There was no advertisement. There was no flyers. People got saved. They saw the signs and wonders and said, what shall we do? Paul says, Peter says, repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. And so, New Hope, I want to challenge you today that we must become resourceful. And the number one resource that we have is the power and presence of Almighty God. And we got to use it. If we want to see change, we got to use it. Let me ask you a question as we close out the service. I mean, in the last 7 days, how many scriptures did you read? Don't answer out loud, but answer in your heart. How many times did you go on your knees quietly? I'm not talking about driving down the road with, 92.5 FM blaring and saying, God, help me get through this rush hour traffic because I'm late for work. That's not prayer. But I'm talking about taking some time aside, 10 o'clock at night or 7 in the morning or wherever in your job, and go to God and really talk to him for just a little bit. Friends, our lives will not have the power we want if we're not connected to the power source. It just won't. And we keep coming here Sunday after Sunday, and we keep believing and hoping. But again, it's all of our responsibility to become resourceful to meet the needs that are in our own lives. And I believe that as Christians, if we can go to God and have a consistent, regular prayer life, that God will begin to change some things around. What happens in the church is a spillover from what happens in our lives outside of church. So whatever we see the church to be, it's a reflection of what's happening in our individual lives. Okay? That's just the way it is. But it doesn't have to be that way, because there is help and there is hope even when you're at the end of your rope. And I wish that the children of God would not wait until they find themselves in such a difficult situation before they call on the pastor, before they find themselves on their knees. I think every morning that you open your eyes and you can move your fingers and you can go to the washroom and make yourself a pot of coffee is a day to praise God and honor him with your life. You don't have to wait till the bank calls you to foreclose on your house or repossess your car or something breaks down. Thank him for who he is every time you open your eyes. There's help. There's hope. Even at the end of your rope. I thank God for this widow and what she modeled for us. And I hope that we can emulate some of her examples tomorrow morning when the going gets tough on the white mud or in the office or wherever you work, wherever you be, in your relationships, and watch God change a situation around if you'd walk in faithfulness and obedience to him. There's nothing wrong with the supply of God. It's there. He wants available vessels that he can fill. Are you an available vessel today? I want to extend an invitation to you to pray with you, to encourage you, to give you an opportunity to get right with God, perhaps invite him into your heart as your Lord and Savior for the very first time, if that's the situation. But whatever your conditions are, or your situation is, give us an opportunity to pray with you and to encourage you. Those scheduled on the altar ministry team, if you would come at this time, that would be good. If there are any of you here today, if not, I'll pray with you if that's all we've got. God is looking for available vessels that he can fill. God is looking for available vessels that he can fill. God is looking for available vessels that he can fill. And he wants to fill as many that would make themselves available. God is looking for available vessels that he can fill. Does anyone need some filling this morning? This afternoon? Is your oil jar filled with the power and the presence of Almighty God? God is looking for available vessels that he could fill this morning, this afternoon. Are you an available vessel? Are you an available vessel?
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Yes. There is help and there is hope even at the end of your rope. There is help and there is hope even at the end of your rope, whatever that may be. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Praise your name. Now, Pat, would you come to the piano for me for just a little bit? Help and there is hope at the end of your rope. Are there any unspoken needs this morning? Something that's so personal you don't want to share that we can pray for you for? We want to encourage our people. We want to encourage all of you. There is help and there is hope even at the end of your rope, friends. God wants to change your circumstances around. He wants to turn your situation around, because he's just that kind of a turnaround kind of God. That's what he specializes in, turning our situations around. Give us an opportunity to pray with you today. Praise your name. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Praise your name, Father God. Praise your holy name. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name, Lord God. Praise your name. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Is there anyone else that we can pray for today? God is looking for empty vessels that he could fill and use for his glory. God is looking for empty vessels that he could fill. God is looking for empty vessels that he could fill. God wants to fill somebody today with his presence and his power. He's looking for empty vessels that he could fill. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name. Praise your name. Praise your name.